This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You better run.
And welcome to the show. My name is Alex.
And I'm Sydney.
And I'm Kirk.
And you're listening to the Lokiverse, a podcast dedicated to the Disney Plus show Loki. And yes, we do have a show. The multiverse is still here. And get your forks out and your spoons out. We are twisting and turning some spaghetti. And I don't know what to say. Because it is breakfast at Wimbledon, I mean breakfast at Loki, because we are doing this really early in the morning, and please forgive us for our voices. So, Sydney, what was your first thoughts about the show?
This was my favorite movie. I am beside myself with how – are you eating eggs?
I am eating eggs.
Literally eating eggs. Okay, guys, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Kirk's got a Comic-Con to go to, so we are up. The first words I'm speaking were, hi, Kirk, and now I love this episode. I think it's the best episode of the season. I think it is one of the best episodes of this series. I have to equate it with, like, episodes 5 and 6 from last season. I love the art. I love all of the visual spaghettification. I loved the music, which is specifically one great music choice. And I come to shows specifically for science fiction and for character development. And that's what this episode specifically spoke on. Unlike maybe Kirk and Alex and maybe some of our listeners and maybe like a lot of dudes, I don't come to shows for the fight scene and for the big bad. So this episode had really all of the things that it just really spoke to me. I really liked it.
All right. And Kirk, what did you think of the show this week?
I thought it was fantastic. I've probably rated my favorite episode of either season so far.
Wow. Yeah. It's that good.
Definitely. Well, there was a lot going on, and there was a lot that was part of the bigger picture with the MCU. And I think they did a really good job of making sure everything was covered. And we open up with a lot of references to 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yeah. That music, that intro music, that very first, like going through the light show thing is very much all from last episode as well. Is the very similar to the music of the monolith in 2001.
And we start out, it's kind of quiet and scary. I love how they started out right where we left off with the white, and now, okay, now we're still in real time. But, and I say that in quotes because time is all over the place. So, Sydney, where do you want to go first with this?
I I want to take a shot at the title, because I think the title says everything, not only about the episode, but kind of about where we're going and where we came from. So the title of this one is Science Fiction. This show has, like, irked me in some ways that there are so many paradoxes that are not only identifiable to the viewer, but then they're, like, recognized within the show in dialogue and the characters know. And I really like that. It's part of the larger storyline. And because it's recognized that these paradoxes exist, Obi is able to establish that, no, this isn't science. This is fiction, which means that you should be able to consciously manipulate this storyline. So I said, I think this title has something to do about where we came from. If this is a story and it's manipulatable, is it a path that He Who Remains set for the two Lokis? Does he still kind of have his hands in the story? Or did he know kind of like, if I'm killed, will all of this sort of happen? It was a quest. It was, you know, initiated by He Who Remains. And I think it was absolutely necessary to get Loki where Kirk, like, helped me figure out where we are going, you know, with Loki as a character. This show is about earning the right, you know, to make Loki super powerful. We've enjoyed these two seasons, but I didn't know how much painstaking work they were doing to build, you know, a time god in front of me, a character I love that I'm now just in awe of. Like, all of these obstacles had to be in his way, including the evisceration of his friends, like, right in front of his eyes for him to recognize how powerful he is. So that's the title for me.
Yeah, I would respond to that two ways. One is I think that you make an excellent point that I hadn't thought of, which is part of what is great is you don't know whether or not what you're watching is part of Kang's plan or if we have now transferred into something brand new, you know, mm-hmm. something different, something that's changing this plan this time. Obviously, He Who Remains' plan to get himself back in power has been done. This isn't the first time. But is this the time? Is this where it's changing? You know, which is a wild question that you don't get answered, and so you never know for sure. But eventually, I assume we'll find out. The other is that whole development of a new power blew me away completely. I would compare it to, you know, in the MCU, there's plenty of origin stories, but Loki is, this isn't an origin story. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't how Spider-Man got his powers. You know, this is an established character. And the only thing I can compare it to in the MCU that's ever happened before, and I pretty much had the same emotional reaction to it, was when Cap picked up Thor's hammer. It was mm-hmm. like, oh, shit. We just watched the birth of a brand new superhero with brand new powers, you know, from somebody that we thought was already established and done developing, you know what I mean, in terms of their superpowers. So yeah, that blew me away.
Wanda kind of developed in her powers too, or was she always just extremely strong?
Wanda's powers were always something that was never completely and still isn't completely established, you know what I mean? But Loki's were very, very established.
Yeah.
Captain America's were totally established. You know, it was like, this is just something completely new and additional that we didn't see coming.
So something that you said just a second ago was, obviously, it's been suggested in 100,000 ways that this is cyclical, time is cyclical. And so, you know, you have to ask yourself, does He Who Remains or Kang just keep coming to power? Or is this a novel, unique event where He Who Remains wanted something new? Like, maybe he's actually a decent guy and didn't want to bring a Kang to power, but did think of Loki as the next head of all of this. And I think that just leads me to a question that I kind of had. Is Loki the one who jumped around in time and brought these characters to the TVA initially? Was he, or were they variants in their lives that were pruned by TVA agents? And then, you know, the timeline exploded and they went back to their timelines and then Loki like regathered them. And honestly, I'm going to answer my own question because I did wrestle with it. I think it has to be that a TVA agent originally pruned them, and then Loki had to go recollect them. And the reason I say that is because their minds were wiped. And the only reason their minds would have been wiped is, I mean, Loki didn't do it, or somebody later would take over the TVA from Loki, which is where I think it's going. I'm going to answer my own question because I did wrestle with it. I think it has to be that a TVA agent originally pruned them, and then Loki had to go recollect them. And the reason I say that is because their minds were wiped. I mean, Loki didn't do it. That's my hypothesis.
What do you think, Alex? What do you think?
I sorry.
Hey, the two of us are not going to be the only ones tortured at 6 a.m.
No, you know what? No, there's a lot to process in this episode. I think that, you know, my first thoughts were is that you said it, I think, Sydney or Kirk, last week. They're bringing Loki's bringing the band back together.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the first thing. The second thing is that OB is more important than I think we even thought. At least I thought. I mean, I knew he was like one of the most important characters, developing into most important character in the show. But it's just kind of interesting how Loki has brought this band together and how important OB's office slash whatever has really turned into his office in the TVA, and how he is the linchpin, or he's the key to this whole thing. I mean, we said this in the beginning, or I said in the beginning, if they would just read the friggin' manual, it would have all solved everything.
Still, no one's read it.
Still, no one has read it.
No, OB's reading it.
Well, he's the only one that's reading it because he wrote it.
Well, this is just another example of that flipping of that, like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, again, OB is now designing equipment that is allowing Loki to do all this, and he's doing it from a book that supposedly he wrote. So it's like, mm-hmm. which came first, you know?
Yeah. I was just, like, highlighting the notes that I took yesterday a second ago, and I highlighted Bootstrap Paradox 3 separate times. So this show does not shy away from chicken or the egg.
Mm.
Yeah, you were just talking about Obi's office. And so I think that scene is critical, where we talk about that science and fiction. But yeah, his office is the exact same space. And at one point, Obi says, "We're the only people around for miles." I kind of just wonder, like, does somehow that space transport to become the actual TVA?
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, it could very well be, but I do want to go back to the beginning, because it was kind of eerie. It was kind of interesting how the message that they were saying was "thank you for your service." Like, it was just kind of like everybody's going back to the original timeline, or
right?
Did it say that on the monitor, and I just kind of didn't notice it?
When it was kicking into fail-safe mode,
uh-huh.
it was saying that.
Oh, that's dark. It's like it knew everyone was going to die.
And the computer was saying it as well.
Yeah. Miss Minutes, or her
whatever.
Voice, at least. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you for your service, or whatever else.
That's
but
sad.
Going back to OB for a second, the fans, everything, it's kind of funny. Everything looked like Miss Minutes, with the two eyes and the mouth. There was a lot of references to that. Also, the two fans reminded me of when Kang died, that his office, or that lair, for lack of a better term, he had the two fans in the background as well, because that was kind of neat. There was just a lot of, if you want to, paradox or parallels to everything. And for me, as much as this was a good episode, this is a very confusing episode for me, because people were all over the goddamn place and you didn't know where anybody was. And as soon as Loki figured something out, he time jumped. And then at one point he time jumped into the same point where he was
I like how they did the whole juxtaposition of that.
Where you can see yourself in the same space.
Right.
Okay, so in the beginning of the episode, we see the previously on kind of beginning credits. And I think that the show really did point out to us that he who remains sitting there at the desk saying, everything you've done, I've paved the way. So I thought that was important because I think the writers are suggesting that this is still part of a predetermined path, or like maybe was predicted to happen this way by he who remains.
I don't know if it means that they're trying to let us know that that's we're still in he who remains story, or if just reminding us that he who remains said he wrote all the story, but are we now changing from that, you know what I mean?
Or establishing that it kind of was a story in the first place. I mean, whether right. or not he's involved with narrating right. it at this point, well, someone can be, and that can be Loki.
Here's a question for you about He Who Remains. Was he there or was he created? Meaning this, was OB the creator and created him, or was it reverse? Because it just seems like He Who Remains could be OB in a sense. Meaning he could be the creator.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a variant.
Yeah. I mean, I or he's something else. I think, you know, right now I'm leaning towards He Who Remains was a created thing for OB.
That's cool.
Because he didn't want to deal with everything. And he's all into science fiction, and he's all into this, like, you know, for lack of a better term, Hal type thing. Yes, that's Miss Minutes, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm still all over the place with it. But sorry,
well, I'm also not yet convinced that He Remain didn't take over something that was already established.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that before.
Yeah. I'm still on the fence about that. The part of the reason this episode was so powerful for me, coming back to the title, was right from the first, I think I texted you guys, the opening thing when it showed the title, science/fiction. And I was like, we talk about the title every episode. And in the beginning, I think the titles were very key and important and involved. And then they became a little bit more like just
1893.
Yeah, exactly. Representative of that time, you know, of that episode's. You know,
technically or literally, and now it's a little less literal.
But this one, again, was just like, you don't put a slash between science and fiction when you write science mm-hmm. fiction, unless you're so trying cool. to say science is one concept, fiction is another concept.
Like chocolate, period, soup, period.
Yeah, exactly. So that I thought was really cool. And then the whole play on that throughout the episode with the idea that kind of is the whole, you know, chicken or egg, you know, is everything science, or is there something more spiritual going on, you know, something more philosophical?
It's, you know, Loki needs to believe that he can do it, but he also needs to do it for those people that he loves, which is the ultimate reason that he learns how to do it. And yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Right. And is our story just a matter of the execution of scientific principles, or is our story what we write and how we go about our lives and how we feel and our relationships with people in the world and ourselves? You know, and is that what really drives life?
That's a question for the ages, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great.
Okay, talk amongst yourselves on that little question, ponder it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out in after this break.
And we're back. And we actually pondered it for a whole commercial. And we've come up with the fact that we don't know jack shit before we started. And we're fucked. So that said, I do want to go down some of the characters in their old lives/new lives. And the first one I want to talk about is our favorite jet ski loving salesman in Cleveland, of all places. Because you, when you think of jet skis, you think of Cleveland. You know,
That has to be a joke from by the writers, right?
Yeah.
It has to be.
It has to be. How could we get more central?
I mean, could we get any more landlocked than Cleveland? Yeah. I guess it could have been Montana. But, you know, he comes up and then we find out that he was everything that he said he was. You know, he's this jet ski salesman, and he's just trying to make a living. And I think the name of the store is Piranha or something. And then he comes, and of course Loki's trying to convince him. And I love the talk that he has. He has the same exact talk with everybody. You're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you, but it's true. Right. But I love how he meets him when he goes home. And he comes home, and his one son, and I guess he's a single dad or whatever, his one son is like burning shit. And he's got, and he like burned like a TVA soldier kind of guy, if you notice. And he's like running away. And then the other one is, you know, doing all sorts of stuff, and he's trying to chase after him. One of the things that I picked up on one of the, I forget which site, there was a bed sheet coming out the window. I don't know if you guys noticed that at all. No. It was one of these things, like, I guess the kids
sneak out. Like you climb down?
Yeah, like you can climb down with all the knots. And they're like, yeah, it's like another branch of the timeline.
Well, something that just occurred to me now is, I don't know why it didn't before, but did you find anything unique about the two children? Anything about their dynamic that would relate to the story?
There probably is, but at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm sorry, guys. I know. We suck.
I was on mute, and when I was on mute, I guessed they're brothers, like Thor and Loki, but they didn't seem to have that competitive nature.
No, I think that's it exactly. I think it's at 100%. One is mischievous. He's lighting fires and burning toys.
True.
And then the other one is more kind of traditional and heroic and is required to go get his brother, who's just done this terrible thing, and chase him down. And
that's
their father is kind of wrapped up in his own thing and distracted a little bit. Mm-hmm. No, he's not Odin, but still, it's like the two brothers are on their own. One's mischievous and one's, you know.
One is certainly mischievous, but I really was getting that whole single parent vibe there because, you know, there is the younger child who needs to be watched, but the single parent has work. And so the older child, you know, is often tasked with running after or keeping their eye on them. So let's talk about him being a single parent. I thought that was a sweet twist that really humanized him even further. I mean, of course he was humanized before, but someone suggested online that his wife could have blipped. I think that was an interesting theory.
Yeah. So I read that too. Well, because of the time frame. Yeah. Also, I thought it was interesting that B-15 was from 2012. Yeah.
New York.
Yeah, which is exactly, during the Battle of New York, right? When Loki first started this whole journey. Interesting.
Something interesting about her little story. So she's a doctor, you know, and the patient that she's helping is a girl that did what?
Broke her arm climbing a tree.
Climbing a tree. And what do trees have? Branches.
Oh,
that's cool. Way to go, Alex.
She's better. You're better at 6 a.m.
I think 6 a.m. is maybe the new time for this show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm up usually anyways because of my daughter. Damn. But when you're forced to be up and I just could not sleep just waiting to talk to you guys. And I think I watched the show, like, honest to God, I think I've watched the show 10 times. And I actually watched it once because I fell asleep like 9 of the 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Thinking of the other two, where was OB? Casey was.
Okay, I got to talk about Casey.
And what about OB? What time frame was OB from? Do you remember?
Oh, I'm sure that I have it written down, but I have notes on I have Alcatraz. Fun fact. So let's start with Casey. Okay, so Casey is escaping from Alcatraz with two other prisoners. And the very first time I watched the scene, I said, okay, his bunkmate, like in his prison cell, looks very dead. He was like, I don't know, frozen looking or something. So
he
anyways,
wasn't frozen. No, 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 no.
Oh, I thought I got it. He was a papier-mâché head.
No, but it's a direct thing from Clint Eastwood's movie.
No, this is a true story.
I know.
Oh, but is that The Rock?
Not The Rock. One of the most famous movies ever, Escape from Alcatraz. It was like taken right from that scene.
It was a tribute to that
yeah.
movie.
Yeah. The whole thing was a tribute to that movie.
Frank Morris was a real guy who escaped with two other people who put papier-mâché heads in their beds, went through the ventilation, and then escaped the island on a life raft, but they were never found again, and the FBI presumed them dead.
Made of jackets. Made of jacket. They were made of coats, like the raincoats. That's how they made the boat.
Oh, I did not know that. That's really helpful because that boat seemed like it was just a bunch of tarps and very light. So thanks for explaining that.
You need to watch Escape from Alcatraz and then you'll understand. And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying it explains the whole entire thing a lot better than we're doing right now at 6 a.m.
Gotcha. So did you know that the two prisoners Casey's escaping with are the directors of the episode? They're the lead directors of the entire season. It's Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson. That cool? They got to be that in their cool. own show. So
this was like another DB,
DB Cooper.
Another DB Cooper episode
The USS Elridge from The Void, which was a boat that potentially disappeared due to the Philadelphia experiment. Yeah, I like these. They're little fun history Easter eggs.
Well, it ties it to reality too for us as a viewer. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of these conspiracy theory kind of, where'd they go kind of stuff. Well, they were pruned.
So just to go back, Obi's first thing when he's at the bookstore is 1994.
Ah, okay, good.
Broken timeline.
Pasadena.
Pasadena, California.
Is it? Did they say broken or branch?
I'm sorry, branch.
Anyone want to take a stab on why these are branches? I'm not sure because obviously they're branches, and here he comes. Loki comes to collect them, so that's what made me think.
Were all of them branches?
Yes,
I think every single one was.
Basically the main timeline is broken, and he's living. They haven't died yet, I guess.
Is no sacred timeline anymore.
Right.
So everything is a branch. Well, we know they're variants. We know they did something to leave there.
Everything's a branch right now.
Sure. Okay. All right. So there are variants who...
Yeah, and that's because we're now past the blowing up of the loom, right? Yeah.
Sure, but they were variants anyways.
Alex,
you
just went mute.
You're literally on mute, like unmute.
Yes, you're right. And it helps if you're on mute and you talk.
It helps if you're off mute.
I'm saying.
You sounded really good, though. Your point.
I'm telling you. I gotta tell you, my point during mute, folks.
Probably the best one you've ever had.
I'm telling you, Stan Lee would have probably said, oh my God, get away from me. I need a restraining order. It was so good.
I didn't know that was a qualification of a great point.
Well, no, I've been doing a deep dive with the Big Bang Theory, and I'm watching all the seasons right now, and the main character Sheldon is very proud of the fact that he's got a Leonard Nimoy, a Stan Lee, I forget the other ones, restraining orders against him, and that's why.
He would be. Okay, so Obi. So he is in 1994, Pasadena. He is a failed science fiction writer, and he doesn't really like his day job at Caltech teaching, which sounds amazing. I mean, he just gets cooler and sweeter.
Which again goes back to the Big Bang Theory, because that's where they were. But it's a total. I didn't even think of that until just now. But.
And then I guess, he is left with the TVA manual, which, lo and behold, bootstrap paradox that Loki's got in his pocket. And he gives it, and then he gets time slipped over to see Mobius at Mobius's house, where Obi's going to show up just a few minutes later through a time door. And Loki's like, that was super quick. And Obi was like, well, it took me 18 months and I lost my job at Caltech and my wife. It's like, I did not see that coming. Like him being married. And honestly, that is her fucking loss. And it's Caltech's loss. Like, how dare they?
Well, it's interesting, too, that all, Alex, or Casey, I mean, we don't know because he's just a prisoner. But their marital status is interesting. You know, we don't hear B-15s either, but it's kind of, she was giving off, you know, single vibes to me. But they clarify it with OB, you know, and they clarify it with Mobius as well.
Yeah,
it's just do. It's kind of interesting. I don't know.
Right. Well, I didn't get the vibes that Casey was married. I thought we could have gotten a whole lot more from B-15. I thought that was really a little bit too brief.
Yeah, if there was any criticism, I would say that. I agree with you.
Yeah, because, yeah, you know,
want more.
She's obviously an intelligent person. She's a physician in New York. What kind of conversation did Loki have to have with her?
Well, they didn't give us much on Casey either. I think they had.
He didn't care. He just was like, get me out of here.
Right, they had the four characters, and they had only so much time. And they, you know, the most important ones we're most interested in right now are what was
Obi and Mobius' backstory. 100%. How about when Casey gets to that space and he's like stealing the drill?
I would say before that. With B-15, she is a doctor. She is caring for a young child. She is showing us how much empathy she has and how great she is with people and being concerned about the quality of life. And those were all things that made her stand out when she was at the TVA as well, you know, as a character that we were interested in, because she kind of bucked the system because she was like, this is just not right.
Yeah, she's a really compelling character. And, you know, for the first four maybe episodes of season one, you know, she was so stone-faced as a kind of a Minuteman. And now watching her face soften over time, it's just gorgeous. Yeah, I really, really like her.
Well, she's just passionate about everything that she does.
Yeah.
And she just jumps in with both feet.
But it's her horror and pain in seeing that all these people from these different timelines have been destroyed because of what they're doing, that makes her, I think, you know, join the resistance, so to speak, once she gets some knowledge of her past. And that's because she's just that person. That's her, you know, again, is it science or is it fiction? You know, is that just her story? Is that her as a person? And that's who she is. And so that's, you know, what directs her life.
It had to be like a month before Loki did the attack on New York. Maybe you guys already had this thought, but I mean, if New York was attacked by Loki and then Loki walked into my office, I'd be like, oh my God, get out of here. You like lead bands of alien armies. So that must have been pre-attack.
Loki doesn't look like he did then. He's got the jacket, his hair's all out, and, you know what I mean? He's got the tie, whatever. Whereas when he attacked New York, he had his horns on, his helmet on, he's all in green. You know, I'm sure there were no close-up pictures.
Okay, the timeline isn't established.
This is a different Loki, too. I mean, regardless of look, his whole attitude, he's not cocky, he's not any of that. He's very solemn, he's very open to working with people. It's just a different person. Plus, you know, he's got the slick back hair for you, Sydney, and, you know,
yeah, he does.
The nice suit.
The suit, so the tie.
We'll just let you have that moment if you want to take a break. But,
should we?
You know what? We're going to let Sydney take a break, and when we come back, we'll find the answers to her love for Loki or / Tom and how she's going to keep her relationship with her husband. So we'll be back. And we're back, and Sydney is still married. So that's good.
He's still asleep. He doesn't know what I'm doing.
He doesn't know all the dark secrets that you've been doing at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Where do you guys want to go next?
Sylvie.
Okay, Sylvie. And there was a lot happening at the McDonald's / bar. Why don't you go first, Sydney, since you're the only one awake to talk about this?
Okay. So I guess I would start it with a question. You know, why did Loki get to remain physically in the TVA after the timeline exploded, whereas, you know, the TVA was emptied out of all of the mind-wiped variants? I can see why they would go back to their timelines, but why would Sylvie, instead of getting to remain, then be displaced into the McDonald's? Or did she choose to just kind of, like, ditch the sitch and, like, go to McDonald's?
She has he who remains time thing, whatever that wrist thing is, the template that's the looks like the smashed.
It's like the pretty thing. Bracelet version of the
I think using the word pretty is pretty generous.
Oh, but it's made of like the marbling from the Citadel, which is like asteroid.
It looks like smashed ball of clay. But anyway, I mean, it's just hilarious that something like so basic would have so much power. But yeah, so I think that's allowing her to just fly around.
So she chose to leave upon the explosion, and she chose to go back and inhabit her.
Oh, no, I don't think she knew the explosion happened.
Was she not in the room?
Was she there?
She was there so much. She was trying, you know, they had the conversation in the pie room last episode. She was trying to hurry
because,
this
along.
Yeah,
because, he's jumping through. Yeah, so that's in the past. Past of the, well, actually, I don't know. Because the TVA is not in time, right? There's no time there. But he goes back to that point past before that branch has been destroyed, obviously. And then she realizes that when she finally goes to the record store and everything starts to fall apart.
Oh my God, am I totally misunderstanding the beginning? I thought the timeline exploded, but it didn't take out the physical space of the TVA. Everyone is gone from the TVA, except for Loki, who is now in the post-explosion TVA space, but slipping back and forth of moments within that place.
Not in that place, but in the timelines.
Well, when he's in the TVA in the cold open and he sees himself reading the manual, and then a second later he's reading the manual and sees himself come in, all of that time.
Oh, there, yes, yes.
That's all post-explosion. Yes.
Correct.
Okay, great. Okay, so Sylvie's in McDonald's. I think she had been at the explosion. I think she was reset to McDonald's, or she chose to go there at the time of the explosion. And then they have a convo, and he starts to slip, and he looks crazy. But he doesn't go anywhere. And she's like, get in the truck. I'm going to buy you a drink. And they go to the
bar. I think she's the earlier. In other words, the TVA resets, but all the various timelines are also being destroyed as a result. And time's going to start over, I guess, because that's what all the spaghettification's going on. So he goes back to a point in time where that's prior to her joining up and going with him to the TVA.
I did not recognize that. I figured this was
because she's still kind of like, you got to do your own thing. This is your chance now to live your life. You know, this is what you've always wanted. What, you know, what's really driving you? And, you know, which we got to talk about that whole conversation. But then she goes to the record store and starts to see that not only is her branch being destroyed, but my guess is that because she says there's nowhere else to go. It's all going. So she must have jumped to other places, and they're all doing the same thing. So
okay, so this was a pre-timeline explosion, Sylvie, which answers so many questions for me, because I'm giving her a hard time probably for the third episode in a row in my notes, where I'm like, well, damn girl, you know, it took literal your entire universe spaghettifying around your face for you to finally believe Loki. But if she hadn't seen the timeline explode, I can see why she would still be the same old Sylvie, reticent to go give her friend a hand. I want to talk about both the bar scene and the record store scene. So the bar scene, I guess I'm just giving her a hard time again, you know, because she's really trying to get to the root of why Loki wants to do what he's doing. And, you know, just why, Loki, why? That answer's not good enough. And eventually he said, well, I want my friends to be safe and I want to be with them. And she's like, see, you're selfish. I'm like, fuck.
Well, he says, I want my friends back.
And then I think he says, I want them to be safe.
I didn't take it as hostile. I took it as we're all driven by our own wants and needs. That's the fiction. You know what I mean? That's the whole fiction of the story. And that you can try really hard to say, you know, say, oh, I'm driven by, you know, my science. This is the, you know, this is the something we have to do that's just facts and science. But no, you're driven by your heart and you're driven by your story and you're driven by your fiction.
No, I think Sylvie's the old Loki and Loki is the more evolved Loki. He needs more friends. I mean, and he likes the band.
Yeah.
And that's why he's bringing the band back together. I mean,
well, he's never had it. That's all exactly. It's part of why he was the evil, mischievous Loki that he was because he had no connection. He had no sense of belonging. He had no sense of connection to his brother, to his family. Now he has it and he doesn't want to lose it.
And I think you're right that he's going to end up taking over the TVA because he's the only one that really understands the timeline better than anybody and understands the weight of the timeline in that new way other than OB.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of the face where OB's the behind the scenes again. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Well, I won't continue to give her a hard time about that, except I will. She reminds me of the kind of people who are like, you volunteer. You know that volunteering just makes you feel good and it's super selfish to like you're just doing it for selfish reasons. And that's why I don't volunteer because I don't need to be like rewarded mentally for good altruistic things. Like she's just, you know, I feel like you couldn't give Sylvie a reason good enough to save the freaking universe. But then she goes and she's living her life and her life seems pretty great. I would work at McDonald's and then go to the record store. It just seems like a good evening. So she goes in there. The record store clerk is obviously her friend and he recommends Velvet Underground to her. And she goes and chills out on this like sweet leather couch and she puts it in. And then she is, I don't know that song. I mean, I've been aware that I like the Velvet Underground, not an active listener, now becoming an active listener. But that song was pretty transcending. And then her little friend starts to be spaghettified and her whole world.
That was so sad.
So this is probably one of the best scenes of television I've ever seen. It was really, really poignant and really visually compelling and artistic and terrifying. And I liked the character and I liked the music and I liked the scene. And then there she was just super kind of in the dark with that time door.
Well, I mean, Matt, they did a really good job, both the actor and obviously the directing on that sequence, because first of all, obviously he's doing it with no special effects when he's actually doing it.
It's not so really being spaghettified.
It always amazes me when actors can do that. But there's this just it's almost as if his brain can't put it together. You can tell that he's just like looking and being like, what's going on? Then the realization that this is the end and everything is being destroyed and the horror. And then it's not clear if he's running to her for protection or whether he's running to protect her, but either way, he's trying to get to her. And then she just stands there as he turns to spaghetti in front of her. Oh, it's just horrible. It's terrible.
And the music is playing the entire time. Powerful. It was.
Yeah. It was bad. It was just bad.
In an emotional way. It was good.
It was a good scene. It was just like, I mean, if I see any more spaghetti.
Yeah, I've had it with spaghetti. I'm going to pass on spaghetti.
We might be done with spaghetti for a minute. I don't think we're going to see a ton more of that going on.
Plus the detail, like I think when we saw Timely last week, spaghettify, correct me if I'm wrong, but the internal organ colors were there. I mean, it was red. You get this red,
first you get purple, the outfit,
and this blue and this
Oh my God. It's like the white outfit of the like the spacesuit for you know, for going out there on right, the catwalk.
Layers.
And then it's like red. Ew. Yeah. Right.
But it's just kind of interesting. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Yeah, no, finish the point because
I was repeating myself as I often do.
I just really find it amazing how they kind of hone in on circles and how, but they hone in on the Ouroboros. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's so subtle and obvious all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like the record and the this and the that.
Yeah.
And everything is just being circles and even Miss Minutes for that matter, you know, which I know she wasn't really involved in any of this because she's rebooting still. But it was really fascascinating how they did that with
it's
that.
It's just
scene.
A really artful show. It just mm-hmm. it takes a lot of time and spends a lot of energy in thinking through everything in a scene and how it relates to the scene and then how it relates to the overall story. And it is. It's really artful. The circle stuff has been a theme through the whole season.
Kazra Farahani is their production design manager, and he was the director, I think, of episode 3. And I just become a huge fan of him. I hope we just see him in other shows. I kind of would like to see him step out of Marvel, not because I have a issue with Marvel, but because I think that he could do some really magical stuff in some other settings. So who did we not see? You guys just brought up Miss Minutes a couple of times. We didn't see her. And we didn't see Ravonna. And we didn't see Victor Timely. We haven't seen... Maybe they're dead. Well, a lot of these people might be dead. I don't know. Docs and Judge Gamble and X5 and D90.
Well, Ravonna's in the void.
Yeah. And I think that's really exciting. And I think that's maybe where we open up cold open next episode.
I think possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I just made it up right
Definitely
now.
Definitely going to – somehow they got to bring Timely back too. I don't know where he is. But
right. They're going to send him back out on that catwalk?
Maybe
the, I mean, someone's out on that
Maybe he did
catwalk.
What he was supposed to do. And what he was supposed to do was seed the multiverse with all of his – Kangs. Yeah, but that was the first thing, you know, I thought of when they saw the spaghettification, was that, you know, all of those strands of him are going into the greater, you know, time branches and becoming part of the loom and being out there. Whereas before, I think that was his whole purpose. I don't know if we discussed it last. Did we discuss it last week?
Yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So.
And I think it's possible. I definitely think it's possible. I don't know that we'll ever see X5 again. I think that since Loki seems to now like be going into the TVA at a point that was earlier than the explosion and hopefully earlier than the electromagnetic radiation just being deathly, that we would have D90 back. We would have Docs back and Judge Gamble. And I just keep listing their names because I could take or leave X5, but I would like to see Judge Gamble and Docs carry over as they're both good guys now. One of them's learned. One of them was always good. Joining our forces, maybe not a core group member, and then like going into the movies, I think that they're both really good actresses and we need generals and bureaucrats in a multiversal war. What do you think?
Well, I think that from what I've read and heard, the rumor mill and everything, is that the TVA is going to play a role in the Deadpool movie. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that will be the new TVA. And so what that structure is going to be, who's running it, how it works is yet to be defined. But I agree. I think some of those characters are going to be the new administrative backbone of the new TVA.
I think the TVA has everything to do with every movie moving forward. I think that it is now.
I think it's very possible, yeah.
The central, they can affect time. Loki can do whatever he wants. Tell us a little bit about like the theory that you have, Kirk, about.
Yeah, I saw. Yeah, well, I want to wrap up with that because it's 7. I've got to run. But there's a TikTok that I saw that blew my mind. I don't remember the person at this point, but what we'll do is I think I sent you guys the link to it. If you could put that in the show notes so people can see it and we can give him the due credit because he had a fantastic theory. I guess there's a comic story that I haven't read called, I think it's called either Avenger Prime or there's a character, Avenger Prime, and it comes out of a storyline called Avengers Forever, I think.
Yeah.
And basically it's the story of this character that we don't know exactly who they are. They're hidden from us. Their identity is hidden. And they're going through the multiverse, putting together a multiversal Avengers in order to fight all these variants of famous villains, Dr. Doom and Thanos and everything else that are basically preparing to...
The Beyonder.
Yeah, Beyonder. And they're going to destroy everything. And so he's got to put this multiversal version of the Avengers together. And then it's revealed at the end that character is in fact Loki and that he is what's called Avenger Prime. And he's considered like the most powerful Avenger ever and all this stuff, right? I haven't read the story. I'm definitely going to hunt it down and read it. But this TikToker kind of said that there's a very good chance that that's what we're seeing unfolding in this story. And that what's going to happen is that Loki, who now has the power to go through multiverses and control his direction and time and his ability to transfer, almost like America Chavez, I think, is the character in Multiverse of Madness who has that ability. She doesn't have the ability to control it either. But and what's so wonderful about this idea is that you know, we're going to end up having to fight all these Council of Kangs or the main Kang Prime, and we're going to need a super powerful Avengers team to do that, which is, I assume, the basis of what's going to make up Kang Dynasty movie. And it's looking more and more like our Loki is going to be the one who has to put that together. And that could be so cool if the Kang Dynasty movie is Loki going around the multiverse, finding all these other Marvel alternate superheroes from different universes and bringing them together to fight Kang. And I just think that would be cool. And then
he's our leading man. If that's the case, then he's Avenger Prime. He's the new Tony Stark. He's not only...
Correct.
Powerful. He's also charismatic. He's no longer
correct
the villain. He's
and it's
handsome
too. It's super exciting because the the MCU has lacked, I think, since
characters
you just mentioned left a stable kind of central figure, mm-hmm. and I think Tom Hiddleston can handle
he's
it.
Gonna be perfect.
I think Loki's turned into a perfect person for that role in the MCU.
And that was Keeping It Comic is the TikTok content creator. Keeping It Comic. And can you just buy that comic book today? You're going to a comic book convention.
I can't leave my booth, but if I could, I would try to hunt it down. No, I'll probably try to see if there's a collected version of it and get that. But I thought the other thing that's really cool is that, you know, Loki's story is about him being, and we get it defined through this series, you know, he's supposed to be this mischievous loser who's always, you know, his whole purpose is to kind of give purpose to other people. But in the comic books, in the original comic books, the Avengers, the very first Avengers, come together to fight Loki.
Yeah.
And in the MCU, the Avengers are founded in order to fight Loki. So Loki's purpose may in fact be in the universe.
Assemble Avengers.
To symbol the Avengers.
And that's why he's Avenger Prime. Oh my God, you're killing me. It's so good.
I think it's awesome. I think it could really be a great, great, great story for that character.
Yeah.
Over 15 years of movies, you know, 10 or 15 years of movies.
Mm-hmm.
To evolve into that.
All right, guys. We're going to take another break because I got to go to the bathroom. And
I do too.
When we come back, we're going to start doing listener feedback. But before we do that,
yeah, guys. I'm sorry. I got to, I'm going to have to jump. So that's what Alex was leading into. I'm currently exhibiting at the Rhode Island Comic Con this weekend. So I got to get to my booth and start getting set up. And, but I appreciate the chance to share this stuff with you guys and talk about this episode and not miss that. So thanks to both of you guys for getting up this early in the morning to make this happen. And I appreciate it, and I hope everybody joins us back here next week for the finale, man.
Oh my god, awesome. It really is. I wonder if it can beat this one. I don't really think it's going to, and I don't care if it doesn't. But
all right, peace.
We'll see
take
you
care, man.
Next week. Bye.
All right. See you later.
Bye bye.
All righty, and now we're gonna. Now that Kirk's left and left us with the keys, we're gonna actually get something done. Let's do some feedback. So, Sydney, why don't you start it off with the first piece?
Let's do it. Okay. Danielle says, I'm not sure how I feel about the new episode. Good, but not great. Kind of felt like a filler episode, considering we were basically right back where we ended the last one. I know the time slippage control will be beneficial, but other than that, nothing really happened that matters. We did learn that Obi is a variant like everyone else, though. There was some speculation that he was something other than human. And she says, I can't remember if it was here or somewhere else. And it was Kirk, and he's gone. He cannot defend himself. He called Obi a robot. So agreed, we did learn he's human, but we don't know everything about him yet, as Alex said earlier in the episode. Danielle, I mean, you definitely, you know, say that the time slippage control will be beneficial. I think it is critical. I also think that in our chat on Facebook, Rinaldi was like, it's not just critical, it's this game changer. This is the, you know, future of the Marvel MCU. Universe. Yeah, yep. So just wait and see, I think, is what I want to say.
That's awesome. Now, we do have a piece of voicemail, which I'm going to play in just a second, from Greg. And, you know, folks, if you want to send us emails or things on Facebook, you can also send us a voicemail. And that's what we love, because we don't have
They're
to read
fun.
It. They're fun.
Yeah. So we don't have to read it. Is that what you said? Right? Y'all do the work for us. We are podcasting for like hours. Y'all send us in some stuff. We'll fill some time.
All right. Let's hear what Greg has to say.
Hello, Lookieverse. This is Greg. All right. So episode 5. I don't know if I liked it. At the end of it, it was kind of like there were no like aha moments. There were no like, I didn't feel like thrilled that Loki had figured out how to control his time slippage. I don't know. Like, don't get me wrong. Again, getting the band back together, like, OB or AB or whatever Obi's original name was, you know, seeing Mobius in like his sad life as a single parent with jet skis, like it was a little disappointing. I didn't get like a piece of joy from it or anything. I thought it was really cool that, B-15 was a doctor and, you know, possibly a pediatrician, you know, good for her, Casey being at Alcatraz, I thought was kind of comical. But in general, I just was like, it was like, okay, you know, we're getting the band back together. And then, OB lost his wife, which is super sad. And you're not only, you know, pulling him out of his timeline, but you're doing something that basically ruined his timeline life before the TVA. Which also sad. I don't know if I liked it. Maybe I liked it and I just didn't like what happened to the characters. I don't know, but maybe I'll like it after you guys talk about it some more. There just wasn't nearly as much, you know, we'll just say big cataclysmic awesomeness as last episode.
Okay. So, I kind of don't get why I didn't love last episode, which did have like a cataclysmic ending to it, yet I knew it wasn't cataclysmic. And then people are saying that this one didn't feel cataclysmic, when I think it is nothing but cataclysmic. I think Loki is now He Who Remains, he is in charge of the TVA. He is collecting the people that he needs. He is an Avengers assemble, a TVA assemble person. I think that we're setting him up to have the most, the strongest powers in the MCU. So I'm not sure why, like, that didn't read through in the episode. And I'm sad that the directors just didn't get that across. That being said, I can say that Rotten Tomatoes did give us a 9, which is pretty damn good. I'm sorry, it was IMDb that gave it a 9. Okay, so you mentioned Obi's real name. We didn't say it earlier. It's A.D. Doug. And he wrote at least 2 books. And I want to say that we didn't talk about his main character in his book is Loki and Thor. So the cover of his book shows a goat with horns, a silhouette, and I think a human, which would be Thor. And then it has a number of planets in a line, which to me are the 9 realms. And when we first go into that TVA workshop, you know, building that AD Doug lives and works in, he had a wall of post-it notes. I took a ton of notes on that. I'm not going to read through them all right now, but they are all like Loki's story. So about 2 brothers having a duel, that this is all a grand purpose, you know, so that's He Who Remains, things like that. So Obi was kind of writing the story on his own, which I thought was cool. You talked about the band getting back together. I mean, this is going to be very specific to me. I like, you know, movies like Step Up or, you know, Center Stage or a sports movie where at the end there's the big game and all of everyone has come together and you kind of tear up because they've had success. First off,
I love both of those movies and they're both guilty pleasures of mine. But yeah, out of all the movies that you could think of when it comes to a sports movie, Step Up and Center Stage are not those 2 movies. Okay. I just want to like point that out, folks. I mean,
give me some examples where like the band gets back together and they are like Mighty Ducks.
It doesn't matter. Anything but those 2 would have been good.
Well, it was supposed to be dance movies and sports movies. I wasn't putting them in the sports.
But no, I mean, in terms of what you said, I totally resonate with what Greg says. I mean, I like the movie. I like this episode for what it showed us to the MCU. I didn't like the episode in terms of the way it was shown. It was one of the most depressing episodes ever. And the reason being is, you know, I'd want to friggin' be at the TVA if I had their lives. I mean, like, there's nothing. It showed them that there was, I mean, I'm going along what Greg said. There is nothing good about their lives. I mean, it's like, erase my memory. I don't want to be a single parent with two little brats. And you know, it's just it. And that's why when you look at Sylvie, where she had, it's like you want what you don't have. You know, having a boring life is so much more exciting when you have only, that's all you've had is excitement. You know what I mean? And you want what you don't have. And I think that there's something, I mean, you know, Mobius is like an important person in the TVA. Obius is an important person. Even though he's by himself, he's still an important person in the TVA. And their other lives, he's buying his own book. You know? But yeah, you know, that's bad. My point is that they're in different places. And that,
they should have given us more of that connotation of the negative life for B-15 because she seemed like she was doing well. So she kind of stands out as someone who was being successful.
I think her situation is she got pruned for whatever reason. You know, she got picked for whatever reason because of the same reasons that she created the rebellion, her passion. You know, whatever she does, she does it full force. So. Yeah. Thank you, Greg. Like it's always great to hear your feedback. And I know you have another one, Sydney.
All right. Steve says, felt like the episode existed for seeing Mobius with jet skis and letting Tom Hiddleston emote while doing an interpretive dance. And Steve, what's wrong with any of that? That's what I liked about it.
Okay, we'll give Sydney a moment so I can read the next one. Margaret says, I noticed that after one of the rapid fire time slips, Loki clearly said, Jesus Christ, which seems seems an unlikely expletive as a person of Asgard. Well, yeah.
Right?
Okay.
That's hilarious.
That is kind of funny. And a little faux pas everywhere. But, you know, him saying Jesus Christ is pretty effing funny.
That's great. I didn't see it. And now I need to.
I know. I want to go back and see that. Okay, Sydney, what's the next one?
Karen says, like everyone has already stated, this episode was underwhelming. Definitely not a typical season penultimate episode. Thank you for saying penultimate. We had not called that out. It is my favorite word. While I enjoyed seeing Mobius on his sea-doo and Casey escaping Alcatraz, it felt really rushed having Loki find everyone and get them together just to lose them all again. Seemed like a waste. But some highlights for me were Loki and Sylvie's heart-to-heart at the bar and Sylvie's scene at the bookstore. I loved the music and it was visually captivating. I super agree, Karen. Such an amazing scene. I mean, it did seem strange that we lost all of those characters at the end after he had worked so hard to get the band back together. But I think it took that for him to, you know, really harness the power that he now has.
Yeah.
Oh, I have more on the other page from Karen. It seemed that like they tried to fill the episode with humor and a lot of it was funny, but overall it fell kind of flat. Hope they make up for it next week. Looking forward to your recap. Maybe you could make me feel better about this one. And I missed Miss Minutes. Maybe that's why it was underwhelming. Yeah, she's got to be back next week.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I've seen the trailers and the mid-season trailer, and I know we see her face again. Oh, so
she still wants,
hopefully soon.
She still wants to bang a Kang, so, you know. I mean, and who knows how she's going to, like we said before, we don't know what iteration we're going to get of Miss Minutes. I mean, right. Will it carry over? Will it not? Did she get rebooted?
Be stronger.
Yeah, be stronger. And will she play a larger part in the MCU? Maybe she's the
big
bad guy. All right. Deba says, I give it 100 out of 10. So I guess she really liked it, or he really liked it. And then we have Rinaldi. And I'm going to let
Rinaldi,
you know, with his 87 pages, which we love so much. So I'll let you take
that. Yeah, we do. Thank you, Rinaldi. I actually specifically was like, Rinaldi, we want to hear from you. Okay. This episode was a crazy roller coaster ride. Therefore, I won't try too hard to theorize. And I think this one might be a previous episode he's speaking of at the beginning. But I do think Loki and Sylvie's ability to do magic and Miss Minutes rebooting and being housed in a TVA computer that's transported to another timeline could be the key to ending the current crisis. One Easter egg I thought of is the party girl in She-Hulk. I forgot her name. Who was a witness for Jennifer Walters in court. She spoiled the major death of a character in The Sopranos for Wong. I remember that. So it's funny the ending for episode 4 references The Sopranos with the screen turning white, right? I liked that character from She-Hulk. I forgot about her. All right. Anyway, some quick gripes from your episode 3 podcast. Superman, you got to talk to Kirk about all this, man, but Superman being invulnerable isn't supposed to create drama. The drama for a good Superman story comes from Superman struggling to protect loved ones who lack his invulnerability. Not telling you to like Superman. Different strokes, different folks. Just addressing your point. Also, Superman does have weaknesses, kryptonite, magic, red sunlight, and mental manipulation. Then, in episode 4, back to Loki, more gripes. Captain Marvel, our episode gripes. Captain Marvel, the film, was boring and not written well and lacked any meaningful stakes, in my opinion. I hope Kamala Khan's bubbly and fun personality makes the Marvels an entertaining sequel to Captain Marvel. My only issue with Kamala's TV show is that I'm a 34-year-old single man with no kids. That's it. If I was a 13-year-old, Miss Marvel would be my favorite show. I like it. I'm actually rewatching it right now. So Kamala is still an awesome character, and she'll help erase the negativity surrounding the Captain Marvel franchise. I'm excited to see her in the Marvels because Brie Larson is not getting me invested in Carol Danvers. And I loved her comic book run in 2010, and that's how I was introduced to the character. So that's frustrating for me. I've been a DC fan since 96. Green Lantern has been my favorite superhero story since 2004. Before the MCU, I only cared about Spider-Man storylines. Magneto and Professor X friendship, war against each other, and Dr. Doom. Everything else Marvel, I ignored. So I'm newer to the whole Marvel thing, but I'm enjoying it thanks to Robert Downey Jr.'s performance as Iron Man. Agreed. I say all that to say that Green Lantern was hot garbage. Ryan Reynolds owes diehard DC fans like me an apology for his awful performance in that movie. In the comics, Green Lantern Hal Jordan liked to poke fun and make jokes in order to psychologically, as a regular human, adjust to the crazy adventures he'd have in space. It's why he uses his power ring in creative and interesting ways, whereas the other Green Lanterns in the corps were boring and used their rings practically. Not everything needs to be exactly like the comics, but being so lazy with source material with bad CGI and dry dialogue is grounds for Ryan Reynolds to apologize. Instead, as Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds makes callous, childish jokes about Green Lantern and how bad it was. So frustrating and hurtful. It's like if Star Wars fans watched Adam Driver in a remake of The Mask, the 90s Jim Carrey movie, making fun of Star Wars and the Skywalker family saga and Luke Skywalker by referencing the sequel trilogy. I'm watching Deadpool 3 for the possible Mobius cameo that's been rumored and Hugh Jackman. That's it. I'm so annoyed. I don't have any fun song lyric references. Sorry for the last email, last gripe. Loki needs to get out of the TVA and back to the sacred timeline and into the MCU movies. I want to see this Loki variant meet his niece Love and her daddy Thor. A lot of interesting possibilities for that type of story. Loki could adopt Sylvie's belief about lives on the timeline instead of looking at a spreadsheet and eating pie by wanting to protect his remaining family members from Kang emerging in the sacred timeline. Hiddleston is too talented of an actor to be stuck in a boring bureaucracy throughout the entirety of the multiversal saga. I love the season 2 Loki storyline, but Sylvie can run the TVA with B-15 as her operating manager. I think Obi dies as a hero and Casey replaces him. Anyway, that's my prediction. And as Alex says, I could be wrong. Either way, it'll be exciting and I'll enjoy the ride. For all time, always, Rinaldi.
And for the record, it's Madison with two N's and a Y, but not where you think. So that's the end of our feedback. Thank you, Rinaldi, and everybody that decided to give us that wonderful
participate
and give us that wonderful feedback. That said, if you want to leave us feedback or any comments or theories, you can go to podcastica.com or you can leave us a voicemail. As well as email us at talk@podcastica.com. And if you enjoy the podcast, you can give us a 5-star rating. And if you really like the podcast, you could still give us a 5-star rating.
Do that, guys. We've got one episode left. We'd love to just get all of your thoughts onto Apple Podcasts. So if you like us, give us 5 stars, please.
And I know with the episode the series coming to an end, next week we'll hopefully we can get some predictions or whatever else, but after we do next week's episode, we are going to be doing the Marvels, so I'm really excited about that. And you know, I know you're doing some podcast prep for that in terms of watching 87,000 mm-hmm. movies beforehand. Because you know, if you watch all,
I'm gonna watch Captain Marvel and then Miss Marvel. I'm working on again, and then I know that there's like Monica Rambeau references all through WandaVision. I don't think I'm gonna have time to rewatch that whole thing, but I will. Which I love. I like freaking love that show. And if anyone is ever willing to podcast with me about it, I'm super down. But yeah, I am preparing. You're right.
I know you always are preparing. So that said. That's our show. So my name is Alex.
And I'm Sydney.
And I'm Kirk. And for all time, always. And who's taking us out today?
Morning Pace and Gary from Winnipeg. Thanks, guys.
For all time, always.
For all time, always.
Bye. See you next week.
Can't wait for the finale.
Alex, good job.
We made a podcast. It's like we made a baby. Oh my gosh.
This is like, this Loki is like a green, slimy little baby is what we've made this podcast.
Well, yeah. And if you're the mother, curse the father, and I'm the drunken cousin. All right, we are done.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.